I'm going to pray, or I'm going to pray and I'm going to preach. So let me do that. And God, I thank you that we could sing, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And Jesus, this service, like all of them, are for you, that you would be glorified, King of Kings, Prince of Peace. I pray for a fresh gift of teaching right now. I pray, God, that this Advent would be like any other, not like any other we've ever experienced as a church family, as a community, that we would experience the reality that you are the Prince of Peace. So lead us and guide us as we open up your scripture. Amen. All right. So there are a couple things that our family loves to do at this time of year. One of them is to play Christmas music, as I shared last week. And I tend to like a lot of the classics, remind me of my mom and dad, like Ray Conniff's Ring Christmas Bells. Just love that song. Oh, we also love watching the classic cartoons. We're getting our kids like Claymation back in the 60s and in the 70s as well. We just love watching those. One of them is Charlie Brown Christmas. And I love that one. Interesting enough, it came out in 1965. And Charlie Brown in 1965 was bothered at how commercialized Christmas was becoming. Charles Schulz was a prophet. Near the end of the video, Charlie Brown is exasperated and he shouts, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And one character comes to the rescue. Who? Linus. Linus says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And he quotes from the Gospel of Luke. Love it. He tells a story about the birth of Jesus. He quotes a half a dozen lines from the Gospel, ends in verses 13 and 14 from Luke 2. Here's what he says. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" And then he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And one of the last things that he says when he quotes the Gospel of Luke is, "On earth, peace." Which is a quote of what the angels declared on the birth of Jesus that night. There's a prophecy from Isaiah that describes Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And so with how the angels declared Jesus' birth and how Jesus is prophesied and described, there's two tough questions. Number one is, why isn't there more peace on earth? And the second one, very practical, why does the opposite of peace define how we tend to feel every December as we look forward to the birth of the Prince of Peace? And the question is, what can we do to change those things? So that's what I'm going to be teaching on all December long. We're going to take a break, hit the pause button on the Gospel of Mark as we begin the season of Advent today. And today's sermon is Peace on Earth and Goodwill Toward Men. By the way, this sermon was inspired on the back of the program every single week. There's always books that I and other things that I like to point out. And this one, the pastor's pick is Paul Martini. If James Bond had a favorite author, be this guy from his last name. He has an audio called The Power of Peace, and a couple of the key thoughts that I'm going to share I got from that CD set. So in this series, I'm going to talk a lot about peace, and so I wanted to begin by defining the term. So when I say the word peace, we know that we're all on the same page. So what is peace? And I've shared before that oftentimes you can use words like grace and mercy, like church words, and you can use them a lot, but you often don't define them. So you kind of know what they mean, but you kind of really can't explain it. The word peace obviously transcends just church, but what actually is it? And it's especially true with words of Jesus from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verse 27, where Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." So Jesus said these words to the apostles. And he said there's two kinds of peace. There's the peace the world gives, and there's the peace Jesus says that I give. And they're not the same thing. In fact, they're worlds apart. So the question is, how does the world give peace? In other words, when we use the word peace in everyday language, How do we define it? Here's a way I found it online. Here's a dictionary definition. The world's definition of peace is the cessation or the absence of conflict. So when you and I, we tend to use the word peace in everyday language, we think of the ceasing of violence, maybe the complete absence of violence. In other words, it's two sides agreeing not to fight. It could be two people groups, two nations, or maybe just two individuals. They're in conflict, in some form of war with one another, and they decide to press the pause button to stop fighting, to declare a ceasefire. And when they do, that is peace. That's peace that the world gives. That's peace that we experience in the world, the cessation or the absence of conflict. And if you're like me, when you hear news in the countries, when two countries decide on a peace treaty, maybe I'm just a skeptic, but I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop when one of them breaks the peace treaty. That happens over and over again. In fact, I found 10 countries around the world, only 10 out of a couple hundred, are said to be at peace right now. 10 countries, which means like 200 of them are in some form of war, either internally or externally. So when it comes to the world, the peace that the world gives, peace is incredibly fragile. The peace the world gives is kind of like a China doll or an egg. It's fragile. It can easily be broken. It's incredibly fragile. That's the peace the world gives. But I'm going to switch gears and talk about the peace that God gives. Again, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Jesus says the world offers one kind of peace. God offers a whole different kind of peace. Here's the key thought. The peace that Jesus offers is not a fragile thing. It's a powerful thing. The peace of God is when God establishes his kingdom on earth. And when God conquers chaos and he conquers the kingdom of darkness, then things are at peace. Here's a picture of this in the future in the Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, in the Message translation. It says, "The devil who deceived them will be hurled into the lake of fire and brimstone, joining the beast and false prophet, three in torment around the clock for ages without end." It's a picture of the future. And here's a picture of what the future looks like after the devil's been disposed of once and for all. Chapter 21 of the Revelation. "Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had been passed away. There's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride," which we sang about today, "prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" And that's a picture of peace. And that picture of peace is not just reserved for the future. It's breaking into the present, because 2,000 years ago, there's a baby born in this world. And pay attention to what he is called, how he is described. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 9, verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus Christ is described as the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace, Jesus, came to usher in the kingdom of God, the promised future breaking into the present. It began to break in one person at a time, one act of Jesus' life, words, and ministry to one person at a time. Jesus taught us to pray in the Gospel of Matthew, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that prayer became a reality, one action, one word at a time in the life of Jesus. One example of God's kingdom coming in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, "If I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you." In other words, when demons are cast out, when other acts of compassion and love and mercy and grace are showing, then the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, is becoming a reality. The promised future breaking into the present. A picture of the kingdom. If you could describe the kingdom of God in one word, you could use the word peace. An example of how a demonized man encounters the Prince of Peace in Mark 5. When they came to Jesus, they saw that the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, but now he was dressed and he was in his right mind. It's a picture of the kingdom of God coming. A man who was previously chained up, living in a graveyard, shrieking and cutting himself, but now this man is at peace. Here's a key thought. Peace is not when the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness decide not to fight anymore. It's not when they declare a truce. Peace is when the kingdom of God overcomes the kingdom of darkness. It's not two equals, God and devil saying, okay, we fought for a while, let's just call it a truce. Peace. It's not it. Peace is when the kingdom of God overcomes the kingdom of darkness. And that leads me to share how does God define peace? We need to define this term because I'm going to be going back to this over and over again. It's just one word, but it's a word that means so much more than we tend to think it does when we hear it. Here's how God defines peace. One word, shalom. It's a Hebrew word. And if you don't speak Hebrew, you've probably heard that word before. And shalom is what Jesus was speaking of when he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, I do not give you as the world gives. In the complete Jewish Bible, the CJB translation, it's a Bible translation that if you are a Jew that believes in Jesus as Messiah, they would read this Bible. Jesus as Messiah, the CJB translation. It's a good translation to look at because it helps us understand how did the earliest Christians, who mostly were all Jews, by the way, how would they understand what Jesus was saying when he said what he said in John 14? So here's the CJB Bible translation. Jesus says, what I'm leaving with you is shalom. I'm giving you my shalom. I don't give the way the world gives. So Jesus didn't just leave us with peace the way the world defines it. He gave us peace the way God defines it. And if you ever have to choose between the way the world defines something, the way God defines something, you choose God every time, right? Here's a quote from a book called Life on the Vine, also on the back of your program, from Phil Tennyson. Scripture speaks of peace in more encompassing and much greater and richer ways than our common understanding of peace. We tend to define peace in negative terms as the cessation or absence of conflict. But the concept of peace that pervades Scripture has more positive impact and resonance. The Hebrew concept of peace or shalom informs both Old and New Testaments. It's a key thought, is that the word shalom is among the most important theological words in the entire Old Testament. That word occurs actually 232 times in the original Hebrew. 232 times. Now, I typically have read the NIV Bible. That's been the primary one that I've read over the years. And the word shalom, when translated into English, has 80 different words to translate that one word in English. So the word shalom appears, same word, 232 times in our English Bibles. It's translated 80 different ways. Which tells you something, that the word is layered and layered and layered in meaning. Now, sometimes the word shalom is translated as peace, meaning absence of war, like in 1 Kings 4, says, for Solomon, ruled over all the kingdoms that were west of the Euphrates, from Tiphash to Gaza, and had peace, translated shalom on all sides, meaning that the nation's at peace. No war, absence of war. But it means much more than that. It is multidimensional in its meaning. I have some cool Bible software called Logos, and it can do a lot of the hard work for you. Here's what you'll find if you understand, well, how does that word translate into our English Bibles? Here's what shalom means. Shalom means peace safety, blessing, friendship, health, contentment, harmony, fulfillment, completeness, wholeness, and a whole bunch of other things too. Shalom, again, it is multidimensional, multi-layered in its meaning. And shalom, listen to this, shalom is what God wants for his creation. Shalom is how God wants things to be. Shalom is a picture of what we as believers will experience in heaven. And shalom is what God wants us to experience on earth, as it is in heaven, right? Shalom is the goal of the kingdom, where God wants us to experience shalom with ourselves. He wants us to experience shalom with every person we encounter, in every environment we find ourselves in. He wants us to experience shalom with himself, shalom with our Creator. So that's why Jesus said what he said in John's gospel. Jesus said, "Peace," or "shalom I leave with you. My peace, my shalom I give you. I do not give to you the peace the world gives, that fragile thing. I give you a powerful thing." So here's a big question. How do we receive this peace from Jesus? Because that text says he gives it to us. So how do we receive it? Especially when many times, and this is not going to be a show of hands moment, but many times our lives aren't defined as shalom, as peaceful. Again, not just mean the absence of war, but everything that the word means. So the question is, why is that? Jesus said he's leaving his peace with us. He gives us peace. How do we receive that, and why often are our lives not like it? I'm going to be answering that over the next 4 weeks. This series is going to go into Christmas Eve, our 10:30 service, and on New Year's Eve, I'm going to conclude it. So we're going to conclude the year, we're going to conclude this series, answering this question, looking at shalom and peace. So Advent plus a week. So for today, what I decided to do as we're beginning this journey is have us figure out where we're at right now. December 3rd, first Sunday of Advent, 2017. Figure out where we're at when it comes to experiencing peace, the shalom of God. So I want you to think of this, and I've used this analogy in the past, and it just wraps my mind around it. A spiritual version of a "you are here" sticker. A sticker you look for at a directory of a mall. That's at Lakeside Mall. I took that yesterday because while Faith and Mommy were at the women's brunch, and again, thank you, Michelle Alexander, for the seventh year in a row for leading that thing. You said 95 people came, women, grandmas, daughters, went to that, and they were blessed by it. They were blessed by it. Thank you. Thank you. And so while Mommy and Faith were at the brunch, I'm like, what do I do with Evelyn and Elizabeth? We ended up going to Chuck E. Cheese at the end, which was, you know, I was awesome dad, but we started off at Lakeside Mall. Now, I grew up here. I grew up in Clinton Township. I've gone to Lakeside Mall my entire life, and I still use the directory. I still don't know where any of the stores are, except I know, like, Sears and Penny's are kind of opposite, sort of. So I took that picture that is hot off of my camera, and you know what the most important item on a directory is? Zoom up, please, Vonnie. Next picture. You can see it. That says "you are here," that red dot. You are here. And by the way, just for fun, I entered the wrong entrance that I thought where I was going, so just kind of classic. I'm like, where am I? Oh, I'm over here when I should be somewhere else. So I grew up going to Lakeside Mall. I still need the directory. I still need to figure out where stores are located. And I feel like it's a perfect analogy because our lives, you can be a Christian your whole life, you still need to figure out where you're at today with God. Where are you at today with peace? Where are you at today? Because we're just continually growing and challenging, and we're in a battle. We're in a war. So the "you are here" sticker is the most important part of the map. And if some teenagers were able to steal the "you are here" sticker, which I've seen that at places before, the directory is useless. As a teenager, I may have done that, actually, as I'm thinking about it. I don't know. So when it comes to my action steps this week, What I want to do is I want you, we're not going to find, where are the You're Here stickers at malls, but we're going to find one on our spiritual journey, actually a series of them, to figure out where are we at right now when it comes to peace. Figure out where we are so we can see where we're headed and how do we get there. What's the map? So I'd love for you, if you haven't taken any notes yet, grab your program, the blank side there, and we're going to ask, I'm going to ask a series of questions. Here's the You Are Here sticker. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is just between you and God. Number 1 on a 1 to 10 scale is I am immersed in conflict in every sphere of life. That would be a 1 on a 10 scale. A 10 would be I am experiencing shalom. Actually, could you go back? That's okay. 10, back. That's all good. I'm experiencing shalom or peace in every sphere of life. So again, 1 to 10. 1 is no peace, ton of conflict. 10 is perfect shalom, the peace of God. And as I thought about it, we are complex. God made us complex as human beings. And so just to say, hey, give me a number of 1 to 10, be way too simple. So what I want to do is ask in various spheres of our lives, give a sphere, a series of numbers to yourself. So here we go. Number 1. For one area, and I'd love for you to do is just write the word me and then give yourself a number. On a scale of 1 to 10, when you're by yourself, when it's just you and you're with your thoughts, the question of how are you doing with you? With what you choose to think about, with how you feel about yourself, with what consumes your thoughts, with maybe the amount of stress you're experiencing, how much self-hatred or loathing, how much worry? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much peace, again, shalom, are you experiencing with yourself? If, again, 1 means you're honestly immersed in conflict with yourself, or 10, perfect peace, perfect shalom, what number would you give? Next area, on a scale of 1 to 10, how about with others? How are things going? Right, Jesus said the part of the great commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself. How are you doing with your neighbors? Key relationships in your life. Are things going great? Is there lots of drama? Is there lots of grace? Is there lots of judgment, anger, offense? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much peace are you experiencing with others? Now, if you came with someone and your number's low, it's time for code. But honestly, just to think through, and again, maybe you're an internal processor, take some time to do that tonight. But to think through maybe a half a dozen key relationships in your life. With your parents, with siblings, with children, co-workers, with your next door neighbors. What number would you give on a scale of 1 to 10 in each of those areas? Next area is with, on a scale of 1 to 10, with the various environments that you live in. And again, there's a number of them. I would say the most important one is whatever you call home. Wherever you live, is that a place of peace or turmoil? Rate that on a scale of 1 to 10. And I'm talking today, December 3rd, 2017, today. Not a month ago, not 5 years ago, today. Scale of 1 to 10. How about your workplace? How much peace do you experience wherever you work, with your boss, with your coworkers? Is it a place of peace? Scale of 1 to 10. If you're a teen or a younger child, how much peace are you experiencing at school? Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're in high school. How much peace with your teachers, or maybe a teacher in particular comes to mind, classmates in the hallways, on the bus? Rate those various environments. Think this through. Rate on a scale of 1 to 10. How about your actual neighborhood, wherever you live? If you're the Hatfields and the McCoys, that would be a 1. If you're like Leave It to Beaver, right? Mayberry, that's a 10. Rate that. This is a great environment. How about your car? How much peace do you experience as you drive in rush hour? 0. We have a new scale. But honestly, scale 1 to 10. There are various environments. And one more area to think about, most important area, when it comes to how much peace you experience is with God. when it comes to how you are doing with God or how you think God is doing with you, what number would you give? What would you assign? On the one extreme, you'd say, I'm a friend of God. He's my best friend. 10 out of 10 scale. On the other extreme, maybe you're not on speaking terms with God. It's not that he doesn't want to talk to you anymore, but it's that you don't want to talk to him. So again, how are you doing with God today? Not a month ago, not a year ago, but today. How much peace do you experience when it comes to what you think about God? And when it comes to what you imagine he is thinking about what he thinks about you? Scale 1 to 10. And again, as we begin this series, it's important right now, where are you at with shalom? So again, a spiritual version of a you are here sticker on the directory of your life. And again, we all have a series of them. And I would love for you to begin to imagine, what would life be like if you were a 10 on a 10 scale, and do you think that's even possible? If you were a 10 on a 10 scale, how much uniquely different and healthy and breath of fresh air would your life be if you experienced perfect peace, shalom with yourself, if you experienced perfect peace with every relationship, even the people that you consider the difficult ones in your life, which, by the way, you're a difficult one in other people's lives. It's the way it works. What if you were a 10 on 10 scale, perfect peace in every environment you found yourself in, and 10 on a 10 scale, perfect shalom with God, with your Father, with your good, good Father? 10 on a 10 scale. What would your life be like? And I just pray, even right now as I say these words, the Holy Spirit's breaking into your minds and giving you a picture of that, giving you a glimpse of what that would look like, shalom. But now what I want to do, as I wrap up the sermon, it's part of the reason why I want to do this series during the season of Advent, which, interestingly enough, as I was praying through this as a series, this was before my mom's stroke, before her death. And so I'm like, man, during the season of Advent, I want to preach on peace. And back in early October, things were going pretty good for the Kopp family. And then we just got like pushed into this whitewater rapids of life over the last couple months. And so a lot of this sermon, like a lot of them, as I'm preaching to me, as I'm preaching to you. So I want to fast forward a bit and say part of the reason why we're doing this series, actually the reason why we're doing this series during Advent, is because of what's going to happen 22 days from now. We know there are 22 days until Christmas, or as our culture likes to say, 21 shopping days until Christmas, right? So a key verse from the Christmas story, what Linus shared with Charlie Brown from Luke 2. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So again, peace on earth should define our lives 24/7. Especially in December, as we look forward to the birth of the Prince of Peace, right? And so every single week of the series, I envision an action step to continue to look forward between wherever today is and Christmas is, with the hope that we would experience peace, not the peace the world gives, but the peace that Jesus says he gives. And that this year, that December and Christmas Day itself will be defined by what the angels said the night that Jesus was born on that silent night. They said, peace on earth. That would mean peace in your household, peace with your family, peace with yourself, peace with God. So a couple more action steps for you today. As we continue to process this, or as we begin the process today, actually, and we'll continue in the weeks ahead. First action step that I want to give at this point is to think backward. To think back to last Christmas, to last season of Advent, post-Thanksgiving, the weeks leading up to Christmas. And here are two questions. How much peace did you experience during the month of December 2016? Second question, and both of them should be on the screen, yep. What were some of the things, in quotes, that robbed you of peace? Again, just to think back, no judgment here, just to spend some time reflecting. How much peace did you experience during the month of December last year? And what were some of the quote-unquote things that robbed you of peace? It could be circumstances, events, family traditions, people. Maybe some of the things that robbed you of some peace were things that happened to you that you could not do anything about. Maybe it was bad news you received. Maybe it was something that happened at work or at your home you had no control over, and it robbed you of peace. But I guarantee there were a number of things that if you truly reflect and you're honest with yourself, there were things you were in control of, you said yes to, and you robbed yourself of peace. So start by thinking backwards, reflecting on last year. And then, to turn the coin to the other side, think forward. Think forward to the next 22 days, to what is typically known as crunch time, the days leading up to Christmas. And some questions to help you as you begin to think forward. Question to reflect on is, how would you like this December to look different from last December? And I encourage you to be extremely specific on this one. If you had complete control over your calendar and the Christmas season, what would you do? What would you do to make it truly the most wonderful time of the year, where the peace of God, the shalom of God, was maximized in your life? I mean, imagine for a moment if this December was defined by the words that define shalom. If you did a word association with December 2017 over next month, what if these were the words that came to mind when you thought about this month? Peace, safety, blessing, friendship, health, contentment, harmony, fulfillment, completeness, wholeness. And with that in mind, just one more question. What can you do by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit and His power? What can you do to turn this dream into reality? My hope and prayer is that for this series, through this series, as we journey through it together, and I'm in this boat with you, we are in this together, is that as a result of this series, as a result of this season of Advent, that not only would this Christmas look different, and that not only would this month of December be different, but that this would be a line of sand where our lives would be different. That what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, will be a reality in our lives, where Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my shalom I give to you. I do not give to you the peace that the world gives." We would not receive the peace the world gives, but that we as a church family would receive the peace that Jesus offers us. Let me pray. And God, I do pray that. I pray peace. I pray your shalom over our church family, over my life, over Kelly and the kids, and over every member of our church family. God, you can do all things. You can do all things. You give us your peace, God. You set it. Would you do it? Would you do it? Would this season of Advent, this entire month of December, be a month defined by your shalom? That anxiety would go in Jesus' name right now. That frustration, that offense, that anger, hurt, that depression would leave and would be replaced by your shalom. That we would be in harmony and feel complete and fulfilled. May we feel that right now. And may that not leave us. In your name, Prince of Peace, we pray, Jesus. Amen.